Hello, this message is brought to you by the friends and partners of Elijah Muslim Ministry International. Be blessed as you listen.
You? Is your word coming to you? Are you expecting more? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's have our seat in God's presence. Hallelujah. Faith Life Conference has been all shades of encounters, and I'm just so grateful, you know, that we are here for such a time as this, and there is no perfect moment as this moment where we're all seated, and then God has sent men to bring words to us, word of liberation, all right, and we are so grateful to God for Faith Life Conference. You know, let's say a big thank you to Pastor. Say thank you, Reverend. Thank you for obeying the call of God upon your life. Thank you for coming to Kefi. Thank you for coming to Unsuk. Thank you for coming to this location, a location so close to me, so that I can, you know, take. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And not after this program, make it a conscious effort to always pray for Pastor, not because he's my husband, but because I know that he's really putting in the effort. He's really putting in the work. You know, I remember how, I always know that how the pastor prepares for messages like as if he's going for Cambridge exams. He will sit and make sure that he gets everything he needs to get just because he needs to feed you. I mean, that is a lot of effort. Right, in terms of prayers, pastor can just wake up in the middle of the night and someone drops in his heart and he's interceding for the person for hours. Right? He needs our prayers. Don't think that he was only going to be praying for you. He also needs what? Our prayers. So make it a conscious effort every day, even if it's for 5 minutes. Raise your hands. Lord, thank you for Reverend Elijah Amuson. Lord, strengthen Reverend Elijah Amuson. He will not fall by the wayside. He is strengthened for the work ahead of him, because the work ahead is much, and he is strengthened for that work in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Let's get to business. I have about 30 more minutes here. And, you know, like I said yesterday, in yesterday's session, Philippians 3:1, that finally, my brethren, let us rejoice. If I keep saying these things unto you, it is not grievous to me, but for you it is safe. All right, so you would realize that from first session, second session, third session, and even up until tomorrow, you realize that there's like a repetition, right? There's like a repetition of instructions of things, all right? And what I am going to bring to you is as though the last session was like a peep into my notes, right? It's like a peep. I remember when Pastor Ayo was preaching, I was telling my husband, hey, that the Pastor Ayo checked my notes, right? Because it's just like a peep of everything that I want to say. But at the same time, as usual, come like a child staring at the beauty of the King. And you're like, in holy awe, let the word always come to you afresh. Never ever get to that point where you get familiar and feel like, I've heard it. Is it not the same old word? Let it always come to you afresh. You're in holy awe, like, do you understand what I'm saying? Right? So for whatever we're going to say now and in the sessions to come, it is safe for you. It is not grievous unto the person speaking, but it is safe for you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
All right, so this session, we're going to be looking at God's MO for a turnaround. Inside out. God's MO for a turnaround. Now, when we say MO, we say modus operandi, mode of operation. God's MO for a turnaround, right? Like Pastor would always tell us that the things of God, right, can be replicated as long as you hold on to the principles by which it works. It can be replicated. There is a mode of operation. There is a modus operandi. Hallelujah. All right. And the genius of God is that it turns ordinary things into extraordinary. It turns the natural into supernatural. It turns the not qualified by you into qualified. right? And God, all right, most of the turnaround testimonies that you will see in the scriptures shows us that God will primarily make miracles out of the things that we commonize, out of the things that will feel like they don't really mean so much. Those are the things that God would always hold on to and turn around for miracles that will bet miracles that will bet even greater miracles. He will use the ordinary, all right, and turn it to extraordinary. Let's look at 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1 to 7. All right, and we're going to read together. It's a very, very popular story in scripture. All right, so we're going to read together verse 1, everybody. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophet unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to... Hallelujah. Verse 2. And Elijah said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Hold on there. He says, what shall I do for thee? And he says, tell me, what hast thou in the house? Hold on to those two things. What shall I do for thee? And what hast thou in thy house? And she said, let's read on. Thine handmaid had not anything in the house save a pot of oil. All right, let's go to verse 3. Then he said, go, borrow these vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, and empty the vessels, borrow not a few. Verse 4, and when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. Verse 5, so she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought vessels to her, and she poured out. Verse 6. And it came to pass that when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Verse 7. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go, sell the oil, pay thy debt, and leave thou and thy children
of the rest.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
That short, you know, verse, those short verses, 1 to 7, is such a powerhouse of information and principles. You know, Elijah's response was, what shall I do for you? You need to come to a point where you want, where you need to come to a point where you understand what exactly you want from God. You shouldn't be dilly-dallying. Elijah said, what shall I do for you? Another response was like, what do you have in your house? The lesson here is that regardless of the woman's situation, not unless she had something. She had what? Something. She had what? Something. And I wrote here, I said, Elijah emphasized two opposite realities, what you need and what you have. There is something you need, and there is also something that you have. I never ever get to the point in your life where you feel like you have nothing. That is a lie of the devil. There is something that is resident on the inside of you and that you have that can trigger you and help you to get what you need. Hallelujah.
Amen.
There is something that is inside of you. And then Elijah helped her to refocus her cognition. And then to make her realize, to look deep inward inside, that she's got something on the inside of her. She is not small. And even though it's seemingly looking that she is in debt, but there is something inside of her that can produce. There is something inside of her that can produce and give her and take her out of debt forever. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, whatever you do not have can never be a requirement for your breakthrough or turnaround.
Mm.
Yes. Whatever you do not have, I'm going to say it again. Whatever you do not have can never be a requirement for your turnaround or your breakthrough. So whatever breakthrough or whatever turnaround that you're looking for is on the inside of you. It is not outside. It is not outside. I'll give an example of babies. Whatever will make a female 3-month-old become a mother in years to come is already on the inside of her. She doesn't need to get it outside. Whatever will make a male child who is 4 months old to be a father of 7 in years to come is on the inside of him. He doesn't need it to get it anywhere. Whatever you need for your breakthrough, whatever is a requirement for your breakthrough or your turnaround, all right, is on the inside of you. Are you listening to me? Is on the inside of you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And you know, I wrote it here that Elisha, just only represented a divine intervention, a multiplier effect for what the widow had. All right? So Elisha in itself, all right, is the divine intervention who is just simply a multiplier for what the widow had. Or what she realized later on that she had. And it only multiplies what you realize that you have. The divine intervention will only multiply what you realize that you have. You know, Pastor Aya was saying it, that faith is what you already have it, all right? It is for you to lay hold on it. It's already on the inside of you. Now, there are 3 main ingredients, all right, for the God's turnaround process. There are 3 main ingredients. Remember our title. I said God's MO for a turnaround, inside out. God's MO for a turnaround, inside out. Now, there are 3 main ingredients. It's been emphasized over and over again, but we will keep saying it, right? We will keep saying it. The first one here is divine instructions. Divine instructions. Divine instructions. He says, go borrow vessels. You see, a whole lot of us, we are too quick to rush out of God's presence. When you ought to stay and listen, you are too quick to rush out, or you are too under pressure to even listen clearly to what God is saying. Divine instructions. And if you are not settled, you will not hear. If you are not settled, you will not even know good from best. If you are not settled, you will not hear. Let's look at 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 3 again. Hallelujah. He said, go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors. Even empty vessels, borrow not a few. I believe that if she had borrowed more, I mean, if she had taken out time, maybe like 2 weeks to just keep borrowing, I believe that oil will keep flowing.
Yes.
And it is an instruction. You see, like I was saying, that a word can be ordinary, but when inspired by God, it's going to birth miracles. Anything can be ordinary. An action can be ordinary. A word can be ordinary, but if it's instructed by God, it's going to bet what? Miracles. I mean, make it make sense. How can you say, go borrow vessels and then shut your house and a jar of oil will keep multiplying and multiplying and multiplying and it will not stop? Only something supernatural could have happened. Only something supernatural could have happened. And then let's look at John. Let's look at John chapter 2. Verse 1 to 11, it's a long read, all right, but we're going to read it together. Hallelujah. All right. Now, this particular one here is one of the most mind-blowing miracles in the Bible, right? And it said, and the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee. Now, Cana used to be one of the biggest happening places in Galilee. You know, I would almost interpret it as Canada, right? It's one of the happening places in Galilee. And the mother of Jesus was there. Verse 2. Is it on your screen? Okay. All right, let's read together. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, they have no wine. Jesus said unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine eye is not... Verse 5, his mother said unto his servant, whatsoever is said unto you, do it. Just do it. Whatsoever he says unto you, what? Do it. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the putrefying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus said unto them, fill the water pots with water, and they filled them up to the brim. And he said unto them, draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it. And at that point, they had the best wine. It was said that the ruler, all right, it was said that the ruler was like, why did you people leave the best for the last? An instruction. You can see in verse 5, Mary preached one of the most powerful sermons in scripture, which says, whatsoever is said unto you to do, do it. Do it. A lot of us will get instructions this time. Just do it. This is not the time to be thinking that, God, am I sure that I can do it? Some of you will get instructions that will literally shake you off your feet, and you're like, God, can I actually do it? Yes, you can. You are the woman for the job. You are the man for the job. You can do it. So take up yourself. It's a year of bold moves. Do it. Don't play small. You will get instructions. It is not the time to take your book and just be writing the instructions in your notes and just be writing it, and then you have a book full of instructions, but the instructions is not in congruence with your present life. Why? Because you are just writing, but you are too afraid to stand up to do. Just do it. Whatever is said unto you, do it. Instructions will make you. You see, I wrote here that it is obedience to instructions that guarantees a divine turnaround. It is obedience to instructions that guarantees a divine turnaround. I remember in 2022, I got an instruction to write a book. Prior to then, I've never written a book. I don't even know how it goes. But I knew that I got it clearly to write a book. And I was in service that day when I got the title of the book, the color of the book, everything that needs to be in the book. And then to keep myself accountable, I just quickly called on a particular girl, a lady that does transcription and editing. And I told her that, okay, I need to write this book and I need to put it out. It got to a point that I felt tired of writing, but I knew that I had this instruction. It was as though if I did not do it, God is going to slap my head and be like, you have a deadline. You need to meet up with this deadline. And I knew I needed to write that book. I got so tired at a point I stopped writing. I said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to record my voice on voice note, and then you will transcribe into words for me. An instruction. By the grace of God, that was how I met Pastor. He read the book, and here we are today. Now, hallelujah. I know you will say glory for that. It's love you people like. Hallelujah. Now, imagine if I didn't write that book. I probably would have delayed myself for a few years. Maybe I might not. No, I will still be married to her. I mean, I'm the woman for the job. It is me. It is me. But what I'm saying is that there is something called Kairos moment. When the timing aligns with the timing of God, and you need to position yourself, all right? At that point, instructions will come to you. And these instructions are time-bound. There is a timing to it. It says, whatsoever he said you should do, do it. It's not do it later, now. Go borrow vessels. It's not, oh God, I'll do it in 2 months' time. Now. there is a timeline to instructions. And once you are able to follow it, follow the timeline, it will cut it, you know, it will collapse time for you. Instructions will make you. Instructions will make you. Instructions will make you. You see, despite how, you know, how awkward it looked, like, I mean, we realized that the water that they turned into wine were water that they needed to use to wash their feet. And the disciples, they didn't question that. Is the water is not, they didn't question. Do it. Do it. Do it. What I say you should do is what you should do. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. And God's glory was made manifest. And there was surplus. There was surplus. Why? Because they followed a single instruction. That instruction saved them of the money that they would have spent on getting new wine, or the pressure that they would have gone through. I'm sure if you have planned weddings before and it's towards your wedding, you know the pressure of wanting to meet up with things. That instruction has saved them of all the pressures, right? Instructions will make you. And this is for you. Instructions will come to you. And that is even if they have not started coming. Instructions are coming. This is not the time to now... Don't delay. Don't delay. As long as you have heard, stand up and what? Do. As long as you have heard, stand up and what? Do. Don't delay. Some of you, God has laid it in your heart, to sow this. God has laid it in your hearts to do this. God has laid it in your hearts to, you know, to have this, to do this. Some, God has laid it in your hearts to actually, you know, be mentors to people. All right, God has laid it in your heart to write books. God has laid it in your hearts to do this. And you're like, this thing is too big. God, I'm not, you. I mean, if he brings it to you, he is sure that you can do it. So why are you afraid? If he says it to you, he is sure that you can do it. So why are you scared? You know, the devil is such... It's such a, I don't even know the name to call him, but he's a bully. That's the word. He's a bully. He will bully you out of it to make you feel small that you cannot do it. It's a lie. You can do it. You can do it. And another thing is that a whole lot of times we all are looking for the validation of men. You are looking for the validation of men. So God is giving you an instruction that is not seemingly popular or is not even going to give you the thumbs up of men. Whose validation are you seeking? Is it the one of men or the one of God? Whose validation are you seeking? Whatever he says to you to what, do it. Don't be afraid. Don't be fearful. Take it, all right? Do it. There is no room for fear. There is no room to play small. There is no room to be shy. It is your year of what? Bold moves. And the one that will take it this year is the one that is bold. Yes. The ones that will take it this year are the ones that will contend, the ones that are bold. The ones that are what? Bold to take it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
We'll see in John chapter 21, verse 3 to 6. All right, let's take a look at that scripture. John chapter 21, verse 3 to 6. Okay. All right, we're very familiar with this one too. Simon Peter said unto them, I go fishing. They said unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. Naturally, fishermen know that the best time to catch fish, all right, is at night, right? Now let's go to verse 4. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Verse 5. Then Jesus said unto them, children, have ye any meat? And they answered him and said, no. Verse 6. And he said unto them, cast the net to the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Now, against every human reasoning, it is not even possible to even catch in the morning. And he told them to cast to the right side of the sheep. Now, if they have cast to the left, they could have gotten but maybe a few, but they followed the instructions to the letter. This is not a time to follow instructions and you say, okay, God says do A to Z, and you're like, God, you I think A to B, A to L is okay. I don't need to do it. Is you either do it completely or you don't do it at all. You either do it what completely or you don't do it at all. All right? In obedience, Jesus came through for them and they caught a net-breaking sheep load of fish. At a point, they couldn't help themselves anymore. Why? Because they obeyed the instructions. Instructions will what? Make you. Instructions will what? Make you. Instructions will what? Make you. And number one that I said, the ingredient is divine instruction. Divine what?
Instruction.
Divine what?
Instruction.
Now, number two, the jar of oil. The jar of oil. It says, thine handmaid, all right, thine handmaid had not anything in the house save a pot of oil. This represents what you have that God will multiply. Like I said, it may not seem apparent, right, outwardly, but there is something on your inside. Nobody is born empty. Nobody. Even plants have seeds in them to replicate. A lot of times people feel like, oh, my life is not working. This is not, it's a lie. There is always one part of your life that is working. If you look deep within, that if you look at it and you sit down with it, you can almost pick out principles that make that life, that part of your life working. And you are able to transfer it into another part of your life. It's called transferable wisdom. There is always a part of your life that is working. Let me give you an example. If you feel like, oh, my academic life is not working, but I feel like my spirituality, I'm praying more, but this academic life is not working, this prayer life is not working, this financial life is not working. Could it be that you have put a structure to your prayer life that you're like, okay, I pray 6 a.m., I join the group prayers, I come to church regularly, I attend Bible study. Those are structures that you have put in place for your spiritual life to work. Now, if you sit down and you want to transfer the wisdom in your spiritual life to your academic life, how about you say, okay, I pray 1 hour every day. How about I take 1 hour to read every day? I go to Bible study to commune with the brethren. How about I look at the brainies in my class and commune with them? Let's have a study group. I also have prayers that I have, you know, group prayers in church. How about I take time to have group studies? This is how you transfer wisdom to parts of your life. See, it is not rocket science. They are principles. You just need to see that a whole lot of us are under pressure, unnecessary pressure, that you don't even know that there is something resident on the inside of you that you can multiply and replicate to make work in another part of your life. And that is the concept of what transferable wisdom. There is always something on the inside of you. There is always something on the inside of you. You know, nature teaches that no one is empty. Plants have seed. I said it earlier, that whatever will make a 3 months boy a father in the future is already inside him. Whatever will make a 3 months old girl a mother of many children is already on the inside of her. She doesn't need to look for it. She only needs to nurture it, grow up, and come up to that realization that, I am a mother. And then she's going to birth when it's time to birth. So there is a process of you knowing. There is a process of you coming into realization. There is a process of you taking hold and knowing that something is here, and I am going to birth it. I am going to, you know, care for it, nurture it, and when it comes to the full term, it's going to blossom. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So if you look deep within you, there is a wisdom working in a certain area of your life that you can replicate to another part of your life. Never, ever, ever feel that you are nothing. You are something. Not just ordinary. You are something big, something huge. and it is resident on the inside of you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, that is number two, right? So what is number one? What is number one? Divine instructions. What is number two?
The jar of oil.
Number two?
The jar of oil.
The jar of oil. Now, number three, borrowed vessels. You see, I really, really like this part because it's something that a whole lot of us don't take into cognizance. And I'm really glad that Pastor Aya was able to help us see that in the morning session, right? The borrowed vessels. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 3. We'll see there that Elisha told the woman, said, go borrow not a few. I believe that the degree to which the woman was able to borrow is the degree to the relationship that she had with people around her. I mean, if she was not in good terms with the people around her, she won't be able to borrow anything. She won't. If she didn't have great relationship with them, some of you, you just wake up, you carry your face like this. Hello, hi, hi. You're just uptight. Only you tight the wall to your chest with copper wire. Aha, this life is not so hard. Really, it's not so hard. You need people. You need people. You can't do life alone. You can't do life alone. You see, God's way of making sure that there is a balance to everything is that you have something that I need. I have something that you need. I am not everything. And you are not everything. I am not everything and you are not what? Everything. There is something that I don't have that you have that I need so dearly. And that is what makes a company work. That is why the CEO cannot be the accountant, cannot be the HR. It will just burn out and pass away before it's time. To make it work, you will need the HR. You will need this accountant. You will need that. You will need it to put a balance to the body. Right? To put a balance to the body. Hallelujah. It means that this borrowed not a few basically means that there are things that others will bring into your life to multiply your oil. There are things that people will bring into your life to multiply your oil. And this could be found in strategic alliances, I would explain, associations, paid trainings, apprenticeship, special friends. Let's talk about strategic alliances. Now, in life, there are four cadres of relationship. Four cadres of relationship. There are people above you. Those ones are your mentors, your leaders, all right? There are people above you. So in your notes, you can draw like a cross, and then you have the people above you. You can call them your predecessors, right? They've gone ahead of you. They've seen ahead of you. They know the things that you're going to encounter in the way. And then when you stand on their shoulders, it makes life easy for you. They are your teachers. They are your teachers. They are people that have been sent to you. So they could come in your own business or in your academics or in your family or in your spiritual life. They are ahead of you. They are your predecessors, right? And there are some that they are below you, not below in terms of, all right? They are below you in terms of they are coming behind you. So you can call them your proteges or people that are coming behind you. They are so important too. Now, what will predecessors do? Predecessors will make sure that they tell you what you will see in front and make sure that you don't fall into the same error. That is only if you care to listen. They know that there is a challenge in front, there is this in front, and they tell you how to maneuver your way to make sure that you make the most of it. Now, the ones coming behind you, these ones are the ones that, although they don't really have the mouth to talk to you, but they are able to pray for you. They are able to hold you. They are able to help you when you need to do some certain things. Hallelujah. And there are some that are on this way that they are your You know, I'll call them your contemporary, right? They are your contemporaries. You're almost alike in age. You're almost alike in everything. They are so important too, right? Because those ones, what they will do is that they will help you to see what is happening now, right? Have you ever been in situations and then your friend is saying, you don't know what is happening now. This is the in thing now. This is the reigning thing now. They come to you at your own level. And there are some on the other side, we call them haters. Those ones, just like the story of Joseph, how that his brothers, you know, sold him into slavery, not knowing that they were setting him up for breakthrough in life. They are called haters. They are hating on you. But the point is, they are pushing you into destiny. Now, that is not the time to start looking for one big scissors to cut off your haters. Let them be. They are needed. All of those things that it's time to, I'm going to cut him off. Keep cutting, you cut everything away and you have nothing to hold on to. Your haters too are important. They are needed there too. So those four cadres of relationship are very needed. They are called strategic alliances. They have their own positions and you must be very discerning of things and people that come to you. You know, I always say to you, must be very, very discerning. We also have people we call special friends. I said it yesterday, that there are some people that will come into your spaces. You know that they are not ordinary, they are institutions. There are people that will come into your space and you know that, I won't let you go like that. I won't let you go like that. They will not look like it, but you can, if you're sensitive enough, you will know that this person carries stuff and you want to latch on it. I told you of a story of a particular lady that I worked with some few years ago, and she was, I think, 3 to 4 years younger than me. And whenever I'm communicating with her, she's always like, Sister Anna, why are you doing like a mama? I say, it's me that know what I'm looking for. She said, no. I said, no. I don't joke with relationships. Sometimes I'll package something and send to her. When she gives a word, I take it. If she's praying, I hold on, even though she's younger than me. I'm not saying that, because she's younger than me, I'm going to, you know, feel like I will just lose out on that phase of my life. So let age not be a barrier to that for you. Hallelujah. You would also have associations and paid trainings. Now, this is not the year or the time. This is not even the season to say that, me, I know it's to pay for all those things. So I cannot pay for it. You cannot pay for what? A whole lot of times you lose out on things because you're not willing to let go. You're not willing to part with just a little money to lend something of a lifetime. A lady in church here reached out to me and said she wants to improve, you know, and makeup and all of that. And I told her that, you know, okay. And then she informed me that there is a paid training coming up and then she wants to go, but then she doesn't know what to do. I said, so what do you think I'm going to tell you? She said, I know, ma, that you will tell me to go. I said, yes, you will go and you will save money for it. If it's important to you, you will pay for it. You would realize that a lot of times what you don't pay for, you don't even value. Yes. What you don't pay for, you don't value. And then she went for it. I told her that this money, don't see it as this person ripping you off. See it as an entrance into an open space of possibilities. In such conferences where you go, you will meet people. You will meet networks and you will meet associations that will be beyond money. Your eyes will open to how things are done beyond the shores of Kefi. Don't play local. Don't play local. Try as much as possible. If you see that this thing is going to be helpful to you and you cannot afford it, you can save towards it. Stop running after free things. A wolf, they run belle. Honestly, it does. Stop running after free things. I'm not saying that don't latch on free things, but learn to, you know, part ways with money, all right? To learn something that will be beneficial to you for a long time. You know, I run a coaching service. And a lot of times, People feel like, why is she charging? She's not a pastor's wife. Why is she charging? Because if I don't charge, you might not take it seriously. There is a particular person that I said, okay, I'm going to coach you for free. Till date, this person didn't come back. Like, I will coach you for free. What I collect money from people to do, I will coach you. He didn't come back. Imagine if he had paid me. He will hold me by my hair and be dragging me. Because he didn't put money down for it. And you know that where your heart is. Yes. Where your heart is, that is where your money will go. You will put your mouth and your money. You will put your mouth where your money is. Or how do you say it? You will put down money there. So don't be afraid of paid sessions. Don't be afraid of it. All right? Don't run away. Don't think that people want to rip you off. How much do you have that people always want to rip you off? Don't. It's not only you they want to rip off. Right? Hallelujah. Another one that I want us to lay hold of is apprenticeship. I think it's something far, people are beginning to forget it nowadays, all right? And that system in Igbos, I like that apprenticeship system, that they have a time within a space of time when you learn. That is not the time to form it. You learn. There is a process of learning. See, the distance between you and the future God has prepared for you is preparation. The future is there, and you are here. The distance between this place and that place is preparation. And God will not be in a rush to put you there and say, I quickly need you to fulfill purpose. I need you to fulfill this. No, you will go through the process. You will go through what? The process. So God will not be insecure to push you there and say that we just need someone to fill. No. You will follow that process, and you must open yourself up to learning. There is a future that has been prepared ahead of you by God. Are you willing to prepare yourself for that prepared future? Are you willing to prepare yourself for that prepared? Some of us are in church. Right, and you are running away from stewardship. Why are you not a steward? I'm learning something outside. That's why I tell people that, do you know that it is in church that you learn one of the best skills in life? You will learn HR, you will learn public speaking, you will learn people management in church. You will learn speaking in church. You will learn public speaking in church. You will learn HR in church. You will learn accounting in church. A lot of the ushers have never handled money before, but because they've been consistent with it, they are able to handle and know how to manage finances. A lot of times, the people that come to give confessions here, some of them have never stood in public to say things before, but because of constantly showing up, constantly learning, they are able to hold a mic in front of 50, 100. And you know the sweet thing about this. Once you can hold a mic in front of 50 people, 1,000 is nothing. 1,000 is nothing. 5,000 is what? Nothing. Make yourself available for learning. Don't be puffed off. God is the best, is the greatest rewarder. God is the greatest rewarder. You'll feel like, I'm not getting paid to work in church. You are getting more. You are getting more. So this is a call for you. I don't want to be a steward. I remember then, very funny situation then. I remember when my dad was abroad for a number of years. And then when he was, you know, when parents are coming back, people are coming back from the abroad, right? From the abroad. They are going to buy lots of things for you. And then I was so excited that my dad was going to get me a lot of clothes, shoes, and bags. And then I can sing at least a little, not like Pastor Sandra, but at least I can sing small. And then in church, then we just joined a new church. And they'll be telling me, join the choir now. I said, no, how will I join the choir? Now, choir will not be telling us to wear all this uniform. I will not be able to wear all the fine clothes that my daddy will bring for me. Can you imagine? That was the main reason why I didn't want to join them. And they dragged me for 1 year. They dragged me for what? 1 year. Come and join. Because I've been, you know, when your dad is coming now, you're anticipating that fine shoes, you know, Nike, all of that. And They dragged me for what? 1 year. My mom would tell me that, go now, you sing well. After, you know, I just succumbed. Ladies and gentlemen, if when the clothes in itself came, I couldn't wear any of it as such. Because there were things that I could, they were, you know, like jeans and all of that. I'd already joined the choir, so I can't wear. So in my mind, you know, looking back after 1 year, I'm like, I was really naive. Can you imagine? I don't want to join choir because of clothes that I will not be able to, just one Sunday in a week. Little did I know that I was the church in Ibadan, sir, the church in Ibadan. I was not going to be a choir member, a worship member in that church. Just imagine if I had not been in that preparation phase. I would have survived, but I would not survive so well. Do you understand what I'm saying? There is a place of preparation. There is a place of preparation. You don't want to mess up on the stage of life, because regardless, you will get to your destiny. You will get it. Whether or not, you will get it. But it all depends. You know, a particular woman of God was saying it, that she remembers. No, she remembers when she was during NYSC. You know, NYSC Mama and all of that. And they would tell her, come and do Mama. She'll say, no, me, I'm not doing Mama. I'm not doing Mama. I'm not, come and do Mama. I'm not doing. They said, you have the all the qualities. Guess, ladies and gentlemen, guess what? She's a Mommy G-O. Original what? Mommy G-O. Now, she will now say that, she wished that she has taken that time to learn. That although she's functioning well, but she feels that she would function better. It's someone that we know. You can listen to Apostle, Apostle Arome? Arome Osai's wife. Right? Your destiny is still your destiny. You will get there. Prepare for it. Don't let it catch you by surprise. Don't let it what? Catch you by surprise. Something has been prepared ahead for you. Prepare for what has been prepared for you. Don't let it catch you by surprise. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, what should you do? What should you do? What should you do? We've said it before. We need to pray for the eyes that see, the ears that hear, and the hearts that understand. Basically, sensitivity. I tell people, spiritual intelligence is a 21st century skill. Just like public speaking is a skill. All right? Just like digital marketing and all of that, yeah, it's spiritual intelligence, what? It is a skill that you are able to stand in the boardroom. All right? And then you are using the terms that they need to know in the boardroom, but you have insight into the future and you are bringing the future back, and they're like, oh, are you sure this will work? And you are too certain that it will work because you have seen into the future. Sensitivity. You are sensitive. You are sensitive. Your eyes will see. As you see it, you pick it. It's not the one you're seeing and you're like, is it blurry? Is it good? Is it bad? Oh. You will discern between good and best. That's it. That's the thing about, you know, discernment is not really, you know, between good and bad, but between two things that almost look alike, but you don't confuse them. You pick the right one. Sensitivity. Ears that can hear. A heart that discerns. Eyes that see. Your eyes that see into the future. All right? You see. You have foresight. Hindsight. You can see in front. You can see the back. You can see. May you not be blind in this season. No? No. May you not be blind in this season. May you hear as you should hear. And may you discern as you should discern. You know, Bishop was saying that he hears God on a per second wavelength. Do you know what it means to hear God on a per second wavelength? As in, as God's heart is beating, boom, 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 you are following it. You know what he's saying at every point in time. Someone called it intimacy. Into you I see. Intimacy. A ear that hears, the heart that understands, the eyes that see. Hallelujah. So that is one thing that in this season and beyond Faith Life Conference, for everything that you would receive and you have received and you would receive, pray for the eyes that see, the ears that hear, the heart that understands, that perceives what the Father is saying. Do you know that there are some people here in Nigeria today, they can determine the destiny of Nigeria. just because they are able to perceive what God is saying at every season, at every point. This is not the one that I will hear God today, 7 days later, you are not here. You are constantly hearing. Like, you are, it's a second wavelength. You are hearing. Hallelujah. And as you are hearing, you are doing. Because as you are hearing, instructions are coming. And you are not just piling it up. You are what? Doing. Remember the first word, just do it. Whatsoever I said unto you, what? Do it. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Number two, and the last where I will stop, is meditation. 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 I feel like Pastor, you know, has said a whole lot about this. All right, meditation. Let's take a look at Isaiah chapter 30, verse 15 to 18. Isaiah 30, verse 15 to 18. Isaiah 30. The network is blessed. MTN is blessed. MTN is blessed. Hallelujah. All right. I'm not able to open it here because the internet disconnection. Hallelujah. All right. Isaiah 30 verse 15. For thus saith the Lord God, the only God, only one of Israel, in returning and rest shall ye be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. And ye would not. Hallelujah. But ye said, no, for we will flee upon horses, therefore shall ye flee, and we will ride upon the swift, therefore shall thy pursue, for therefore shall they that pursue you be swift. 1,000 shall flee at the rebuke of one, and the rebuke of 5 shall ye flee, till ye be left as a beacon upon the top of the mountain, and as an ensign on an hill. Please go back to verse 15. It says, all right, for thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall ye be saved. In returning and rest, what shall ye be saved? In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. In meditation and quietness, after praying for your eyes to see, I'm reading what I wrote here, you will crystallize to surface and bring to meaning what God has deposited in you. In meditation and quietness, after praying for your eyes to see, you will crystallize to surface and bring to meaning what God has deposited in you. All right? After this conference, don't rush. You know, some people get rhema and revelation. Next minute, WhatsApp status, Twitter, and all of that. It has not crystallized into you. It has not birthed in you, but you are already pushing. Don't rush. Don't rush. And you know these things cannot be faked. They can't be faked. They can't be faked. In quietness and in meditation, that which God has deposited onto you, you will crystallize to surface. So after the conference, take out time. Take out time, right, to meditate, to sit with it. Let it flow in you. Take it, regurgitate over it over and over and over and over and over and over and over again till it sits in you. And then it will come to the surface and you will see it. You will hold it like flesh in your hands. All right? Now, this is the whole concept about everything I've said, right? That whatever it is that is going to come to you or that has come to you, you still need a certain level of meditation, all right, where you sit still in quietness. The things that you have heard, the things that you have seen, the things that your hearts have perceived, and then you sit with it. You sit with it. You regurgitate over it. You take the first session, second session, take out time, you know, go over it, play the message, play it, play it, till it becomes, you know, it becomes so strong in your spirit, and you get to that point and you're like, this is it. This is it. I have it already. I have it already. I have it already. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Like I said, spiritual intelligence is key. All right? It is key. It is so needed. It is so needed. Right? You don't want to, I mean, this is 2024, all right, and things are changing. You don't want to be in a world where you are dilly-dallying, trial and error. You don't want. How many trial and error do you want to do till you get it right? Do you know it's possible to make a decision once and you get it right once? It's possible. It's possible. As much as I don't want to go into relationship aspect, but it is possible that the first person you date is the person that will end up being your partner. It's possible. There is no need to be doing trial and error. The Christian, we are not called for trial and error. Right? It is possible. It is possible to make a decision once and you get it once. It is possible that you can go into business without failing. It is possible that you can make investment and it will profit for you. It is possible. Right? It is possible. All right? It is possible. So be sensitive. All right? Let your pray that you have ears that hear, all right, eyes that will see, a heart that will perceive what the Spirit of the Lord is saying, all right, that you are hearing per second. You are hearing per second. And where does this come from? From the place of intimacy. From the place of intimacy. All right, Pastor Aya said that revelations will come from a place of intimacy. Instructions will come from a place of intimacy. My instruction will not be your instruction. You see, we must understand that everybody has a unique meal plan. I would always tell the ladies during our prayers that we all have unique meal plans. What I will feed on that will help me is not what you would also feed on that will help you. So this is not a time to be running with another man's instruction. It is a time to sit down with God, get your own instructions, and run with it. My plan, my unique meal plan, is different from yours. All right? The things that I need as consecration, my consecration is different from yours. It's different. It's different. My friend is doing it. Is that what God said you should do? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Lift up your hands and declare. And pray that your eyes will see. As simple as this prayer is, it carries so much power. It carries so much power that my eyes will see, my ears will hear, my heart will understand what the Father is saying at every season, every moment of my life. My eyes will see, my ears will hear, my heart will understand. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I have seen eyes, I have hearing ears, I have a heart that understands. In the name of Jesus, my instructions comes to me, and I do them to the letter. I do them to the letter. I do not hold back. I do not hold back. I do not mix up my instructions. I do not mix it up. I do not mix it up. A is A, B is B. In the name of Jesus, I do that which is unique to me. I do not go around doing copycats. I do that which is unique to me. My eyes will see, my ears will hear, my heart will understand. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, whatsoever is remaining for me to take, I take it. In the name of Jesus, Mako Shana Mande Sekateli Braga Dabayada. My eyes will see, my ears will hear, and my heart understands what the Father is saying in every moment, in every minute. I will not lose out on what is mine. In the name of Jesus, I will not lose out on what is mine. The fire that has been pumped up in me will not go dim. In the name of Jesus, Mashana Mano Sotoli Bragada Bayata, Meno Shande, Rakatabalebo Zotoli Bragada Bayata, Meno Shagada Baragada, Lako Shande, Maseteli Bragada Bayana Mano Shande. In Jesus' name we're praying.
Amen.
In Jesus' name we're praying.
Amen.
Today I declare upon you
Eyes that see.
Amen.
Eyes that see.
Amen.
Eyes that see.
Amen.
Ears that hear.
Amen.
Ears that hear.
Amen.
And a heart that discerns.
Amen.
A heart that discerns.
Amen.
That knows good from the best.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
You make your decisions once and you get it right once.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
No room for trials and errors.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And the strength, the wit, the grit to prepare for the future God has in plan and has prepared for you, receive it today.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Receive the strength to do.
Amen.
And to do well.
Amen.
Receive the strength to do and to do well.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
In Jesus' name we have prayed.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Glory.
Have we been blessed?
Yes.
We know that you've been blessed. For further inquiries, to get more messages, and for counseling, please visit our website www.cornerstoneglobal.org or call the number +234 91 60 84 88 80. God bless you. We love and celebrate you.